right. Welcome back. Welcome back to another edition of, we don't know what we're calling this for real yet, soccer podcast.
We're working on that.
Still working on that. As a, you know, it's a hold, the holding place as of right now. But thanks for all the love, man. There's so many people actually, you know, listen to us, hit us up on this one. It was dope. I didn't know these many people really, you know, cared. A lot of people hit us up on Twitter and was like, hey, you know, I don't even care. It was just cool to see some brothers talk about soccer a little bit.
Yeah, man. Yeah, definitely. Got some good feedback from definitely some of the fam, some folks online, man. So, yeah, you know, it's just about growing, man, and staying consistent.
Man. Yeah. Man, shout out to you, man. The clip of us talking about the Super League, that one went around the world a little bit.
Okay.
People, it was. I don't know if it was trolls or what. It was commenting on the YouTube link, dog. Like, wow, what do you mean anybody could just make their own team?
I didn't catch that. Fantasy.
Yeah, Cass was mad talking about, what do you mean this ain't fantasy football?
Hey, man, funny money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I'm saying, I mean, I would think if you're talking about a world sport like soccer, that would be the one you'd be, to probably have the most money be to do it, right?
It makes the most sense. It's definitely feasible.
You know what I mean? And like you said before, somebody tweeted that they didn't even think about all the private games that cats be playing on the low that nobody even know about with people like Iron Sheiks and stuff.
Yeah, just never know. You know what I mean? Especially these guys, like look at a Michael Jordan type, you know, ultimate gambler, no matter what it is. You know what I mean? You can't see MJ putting $500,000 down on a, you know what I mean, a crazy.
Would you be surprised if you heard like, yo, like the top 20 players went to play for some Sheik in Dubai on the low, like during the offseason?
I mean, yeah, I think it'd be shocking just because of the kind of money they already touching. But if there was to be a salary cap or just some incredible availability of cash, I think it's possible. You know, money motivates, man. I mean,
it's not enough money for them right now to be able to go do that. You're saying right now it's not nothing that can motivate them for like the one
unnecessary. I mean, the guys at that level, man, when you touching $220,000 a week, you know, not a whole lot anybody can tell you about anything.
I mean, even if you tell you're going to be $1 million for one game, it's like, I'll let you know.
Yeah, exactly, right.
All right, let's jump into these emails, man. First email comes from John Thomas. He says, this show is awesome to listen to see some brothers from around the way that seems to talk about soccer in a lot of ways that I don't even know about. My question is a two-parter. First part is, why is it that it seems like that the U.S. soccer team cannot get above the level? We have all the resources, everything in our hand, the best trainers. We don't even do steroids correctly. Something to get us over the hump.
Wow, that's a good question.
And my second question is, I just started getting to being a Liverpool fan over the last couple of years. I know Daryl's going to have a frown at me, but question of with the Champions League, what do you all think went wrong with Liverpool losing to Atletico? I didn't really just got into this. They've been going real well for me for a long time, but I'm just trying to see what happened with this compared to the rest of the season. Is the Premier League down, or is it just a one-off where it's saying like, hey, anything can happen in a tournament scenario?
Wow, that's a good question.
Yeah, man. No, that's real good ones, man. Shout out to you, John, man. I appreciate those. That's a good way to kick this off.
Right on, man. Appreciate that. You want to start on that?
I mean, me and you've had a conversations about the USA soccer, so I'm on default to you on that one. So if you want,
that's a deep question, man. And I mean, definitely, like I agree, the resources there, definitely the talent. You know, we see time and time again across the board in all kind of athletics, the kind of athletes that we can, you know, create and cultivate in this country. So I think all the physical skill sets are there, but I think it's the systems that are missing. You know what I mean? Oftentimes just having the raw natural talent is not enough. Having the correct resources to actually develop said talent is, you know, what determines, you know, the super high winners and those who are just athletic. And I think that's where we've kind of struggled, where we've been able to do it in spots. And, you know, when you talk about a Landon Donovan or, you know, Eric Winalda, you know, certain Americans that have really been able to excel, but you haven't been able to do that consistently across the board in all positions. I mean, and even in the coaching staff as well. So
I mean, because they threw the Brinks truck at Klinsmann, didn't they? Basically, right?
Yeah, to go get him. And I mean, did it really pay off?
No, not at all.
You know? I mean, I don't think he's that much more successful than like a Bruce Arena.
Oh no, Bruce Arena is more successful. I think we didn't qualify the last one under him. And the year before that, they only made a round of 32. Arena's made the round of 16 at least twice, I think, right? Or was that Bradley?
Bradley, I think, qualified only once, if memory serves me correctly. But I think you hit it right. I think Bruce Arena qualified twice, if I'm not mistaken. And definitely didn't touch as much paper as Klinsmann did for that one little short run that he had. But that just goes to show you that, being outside of the U.S. and coming in doesn't necessarily just automatically make you click either. And I think that's a good example of that. But, that's why I kind of defer back to the systems, man. When you take a look at how they do it, in Europe and Africa, even in Asia, man, they starting them off essentially from toddlers, man, where, it's 100% focus. And they do kind of have that development, school down there in Florida somewhere, where they're really trying to kind of start that. But it's not just widespread capturing all the young talent like it should be. But I think over time, it is really kind of moving forward. And I think that'll continue, as the system starts to develop.
Yeah, do you think also the idea that it's almost more expensive to play soccer here than it is in other countries, relatively? Like the club system and all that here? Or is it
club system does get very pricey, man. But, that's just upper middle America's impact on anything, man. Where you can take something that's simple and beautiful and, when you infuse it with high society and high society sort of individuals, now you just – you're making an expense. Who has the best uniforms? Who has the best?
But AU hasn't had to go that route. AU is expensive as travel. But if you balling, it could be a team from the north side. They're gonna play them. They're gonna play.
I think they can. But I just know a lot of the select leagues, especially like even St. Louis is a hotbed for soccer, for example. Mm-hmm. Those teams out there, Gallagher, those kids who play at the Blish Sports Complex, they spending big money to play on those clubs, man. I don't know if Lil Mike and Ray and them, off the north side is going to be able to compete in them same sort of leagues just, for what it costs entry fee-wise per player.
So you're saying that it's just harder entry fee, even if you compare AAU basketball to club soccer, that Gallagher's and Blish and all those, is even more money to get into soccer ones than it is to go to AAU tournament.
I think it's close, but I just think that it's a bigger gap. I would say it's just a bigger gap.
And you got to get more kids too, though. You got to think how many kids. For AAU squad, you need 10. Yeah. You need 15 to 20 kids for a nice club team. That's all paying $200.
Exactly.
For the one tournament. That ain't even for the season. That's one tournament.
Right. And they may be just entry fee to play the games in that tournament. That's not the travel to get there.
Right. That's true. So, I don't know. I don't know if the U.S. is ever going to be able to really get over the hump necessarily. I don't know if it's ever going to happen, honestly, man. I mean, they can't even beat Mexico consistently. You can't win the Gold Cup. You got to think that really you're really setting yourself up. In theory, but Panama is good every now and then, and a couple other Central America squads. But in general, really, it's slotted for you to, remember on Above the Rim, he was like, Bombers, Bombers, Bombers Championship. It's kind of set up for you to get there to just play Mexico every time.
Man, it's kind of funny. You're absolutely right. Like, when you look at CONCACAF, it shouldn't be as competitive of a region as it is. Mexico's consistently dominating, but there's all kind of little small countries. Jamaica will slip you up. Yeah. Guatemala will come in and slip you up.
Honduras will slip you up.
They'll come punch you right in the mouth, on a rainy Wednesday night in Orlando. They'll come right in here and punch them in the mouth. It shouldn't be that way. When you talk about, just the facilities, how well we eating compared to those people, it's incredible.
Yeah, and that's one of them, man. If the U.S. ever made a Final Four or finals of a World Club, this country would go ridiculous.
all the support, I think, would definitely be there, and the investment. I mean, you just seen how these World Cups have grown, even the Women's World Cups, like the kind of support, the television, the attention, the money, the investment is there. So the infrastructure is there. I don't want to say it'll never happen, but I think it's slowly but surely heading in the right direction.
I mean, we got a lot more players playing in the Premier League at a high level now, instead of just, kind of being there. Because you got what, Yeldon over there? Well, Yeldon's not in the Premier League, is he?
No, yeah, he is. He's on Newcastle.
Right. Newcastle. And then Pulisic is on Chelsea. And that's it for the Premier League, right? Yeah, for U.S. players, right?
He was behind me.
You said what now?
In the Premier League itself, I mean, I want to say this.
And you got the one brother on Shocker too, right?
He's a stud too.
Yeah, because he like 17 or something, ain't he? Like he like.
Yeah.
He ain't no joke,
too, man. Like real speed. And I know there's a couple of other brothers that's in the Bundesliga. Some names are escaping me, but they're playing in some of those mid to lower table teams. But they over there playing. You know?
Yeah. So the second part of this question, man, what do you think is happening with Liverpool in the Champions League?
Man, Liverpool was on such a roll, man. My opinion is that team is super talented. You know, obviously, I mean, you know, the proof's in the pudding, but I think that they're not as deep, and I think that's what it was, just a lack of depth. You know, not really being able to bring in the real required, you know, playmakers. Not just a guy that can get the job done, but I mean a quality playmaker that's going to influence a game. I think that's the kind of depth that they miss, and you know that's why you see that sort of lackluster performance kind of, you know, flame out in the tournament like that.
You think that they overexerted themselves in the EPL too, though? Like the English Premier League?
Yeah, I think the EPL was the number one target. You know, when it comes to which trophies do you want to lift, and I think, you know, honestly, just considering how long it's been for them, that's the appropriate goal. And I think that, you know, you dominate and, you know, you win your country's league, and then I think it's time for you to take the next step to start to try to.
And they won last year too, so they kind of was like, maybe.
The investment, man, the investment in the debt. That's, you know, that's how you have, you know, Real Madrid dominating, you know, as much as they have.
Because dude, because you look at their roster, though, man. You look at Real Madrid's roster, dog. They got, like, four or five strikers, like, posted, like, that are dogs. Like,
that'll come in right now and do a
dude,
job.
Dude, Bale was on the bench yesterday, dog. And I was like, wow. Like, and then I looked at who was starting. I was like, damn, I ain't mad. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Then they got those youngsters with the, you know, super off-the-charts talent that's just waiting, you know.
Yeah.
For somebody to get injured or retired. And it's like, boom, they, you know, lock and reload.
So actually piggybacking kind of off with Liverpool with the UEFA, do you think that some country, like a for instance, somebody in the Bundesliga will want the Champions League trophy over even more of their own country's trophy? Like, but for English Premier League, it may be that's a higher thing than the Champions League for certain leagues.
For certain teams in certain leagues, I say absolutely. I mean, you know, every team has different objectives, and you know, those can be influenced. You know, how recently have you won? You know, your country's league. You know, maybe you're a perennial winner, and that's something. You know, a Bayern Munich, they win the Bundesliga all the time, so that wouldn't be a high level objective. That's almost like, you know, of course we're going to do that, but then the Champions League becomes the bar for them. But I don't think Liverpool's in that kind of situation where, you know, they're perennially winning the Premier League. And so now the Champions League is an ultimate goal. I think for Liverpool, winning the Premier League is objective one, you know?
Yeah, because they haven't won, what, 20 years or something crazy?
20 plus, I want to say.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they have a rich storied history in the past of winning the Premier League. So it's like we got to give our fans a taste of that again first. Then we go lift the Champions League.
Dang. Okay. All right. Next up, questions. This one comes from Tiago. Man, shout out to you, Tiago. That's only 11 first name. So Tiago says, I know the biggest debate of all time is Ronaldo versus Messi. Who do you all think is my first question? My second question is, what do you all think that the Champions League can do to take it to another level where it could be even more global? I know Brandon said in the last episode making it more of a super league, but do you think they would want to incorporate other leagues? I know the FIFA has their World Cup of leagues, but does that really make sense, and do people even really care? Is there a way to really make this more of a global championship situation?
Tiago, some good questions, man.
Yeah, man, we got some good questions, man. I mean, people have been starting for some good talking about soccer, man. So, cats, like they had these in their back of their head for a while or something.
That's what we absolutely here for.
Yeah.
I want to start with the Messi Ronaldo.
Yeah, let's go with it.
Man, you know, like I was kind of telling you in pre-production, I think that's the story debate, you know, that's been going on for many, many years. I mean, let's cut to the chase. Obviously, two of the best players in this current era, you know, both are spectacular. So many skills, make others better. So many goals, highlights, you know, we can all absolutely agree on that. I think it's important not to lose context of the bigger picture. And, you know, although we don't have all the technology to go back and see all of the Pelés, a lot of the older players, you know, we can't lose sight of what they've done in this game, the trophies that they lifted. I think that's very important. But to answer that question specifically, man, I think it's a toss-up. I hate to, you know, be a fence rider.
It depends on what you like, really, right?
It depends on what the team needs. I think they both – provide what their teams need and require, and it's hard to put value on which one is more important or which one is more valuable.
Like I look at Messi more as like the dude that's gonna be able to take you to the cup. Like if you look at use a basketball analogy, like he's gonna be able to take you off the dribble, do whatever to take you off the cup. I feel like Ronaldo's more like I'm gonna bust these threes on you. Like I'm gonna drop threes all day. It just depends on what you like in a player, almost. I mean, is that a good comparison? Or
I, you know, while you were talking, I hate to be thinking while you're talking and not listening, but you said some things that triggered a thought in my head. I look at it kind of like Rocky Balboa and the Russian, you know, where.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Messi's Rocky Balboa, right? He got it out the mud, you know, just taking every ounce of what he has and really performing. Where Ronaldo's more like the Russian, you know, he's chiseled, built in the as like a machine to do exactly, you know, what he does on the pitch. And so they're both incredible at what they do and performing at a high level. So again, I'm straddling the fence.
I mean, and really, this is what I guess this debate's probably gonna come up even more in the next couple of years because both of them ended their careers in probably the next 2 to 3 years. I'm thinking, right?
Yeah, they're definitely both coming down the home stretch.
Because they're both, you know, they got to be both mid-30s, right?
Yeah, early mid-30s.
So they probably definitely. Got, they both of them got think, one more World Cup in them, you think? That's it?
Oh, yeah. It's hard to see them go beyond that, yeah. Especially with the kind of conveyor belt of talent that, you know, Argentina has specifically.
Yeah, I mean, you got, I mean, they got talent. I mean,
they got line and line and line, you know what I mean? Absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe Ronaldo could stick around a little. I mean, Portugal's got some people, but it is not as much as they used to, it feels like. But I definitely – Messi going to have to put up the boots because this boy is sitting back there waiting in Argentina.
Yeah, I mean, that's really almost the last thing for him to go win. I mean, pretty much won everything else.
Both Ronaldo too, though. Ronaldo needs a World Cup too.
That's absolutely true as well.
That would be a hell of a final though, wouldn't it?
Man, yeah, no, it definitely would be.
Definitely. That would, I mean, that's almost like them setting up, you know, where they, what final was it they wanted, some years when it was going to be, the Vikings versus, Denver, where it was like, yo, if we can get Randall Cunningham and Randy Moss versus, John Elway, we're going to get paid.
Exactly. Yeah. I think, man, that would be interesting to see. A World Cup final. Yeah.
But the second part, what do you think this the club world championships? I know they have it, but he was saying, is there a way they can amp it up a little bit? FIFA can.
You know, that's a good question. I mean, I guess there's some way it's got to be able to be done. But man, shit, if I could answer that question, I think, you know, I'd be on the FIFA, you know,
working at
PR
FIFA.
Marketing, you know, team, cashing a large check if I had to answer to that.
I mean, you'd have to have another really check, though, to get on the staff, though. You know, get on that FIFA staff, you have to get a check in general, have a check already.
I mean, I'm going to need a staff as well. You know what I'm saying? But man, it's hard, man. It's hard because I think so much tradition, you know, and that's another thing, you know, in the football world, there's so many tournaments. I mean, just look at England, you know, the FA Cup, the Cabero Cup, you know what I mean?
Then if you play along, you got the Community Shield Cup if you want one and two. And
you know, I mean, it just goes on and on. Like, where does it end? And I mean, almost every country has these tournaments within these leagues as well. So it just really becomes just another tournament.
So, like, I mean, like, do you think some of these countries need to, like if FIFA said, hey, everybody gonna have one tournament in a country, we finna focus in on this world championship thing? Or what do they do to get people to more buy into it? Because I think that I feel England, like a lot of these places have like 4 or 5 cups, and you're like, why y'all got so many tournaments games? And they're not even putting your best, and you're not even putting your best players out there for some of these.
Yeah, because again, you only have so much depth. You can't afford injury. You know, the club has objectives, like I was saying, you know, like that back to that Liverpool example, where your objective is, this is the trophy that we want to win, you know? So yeah, we got 4 other different tournaments going on. We can only really play to win one of them, you know, maybe two. And so I think that's why you start to devalue some of the tournaments. And, you know, to answer your question, I think it's hard to get rid of some of these older tournaments because of the historical, the history behind it. You know, when you have a tournament they've been playing for 120 years, it's hard just to say, we gonna scrap. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, do you think the players really even care about the FA Cup or the Caribou Cup or whatever?
The certain guys, you know, it's just like anything else, man. You know, certain guys really play for the patches, you know, on the front of the, you know, they really care about the club. And I think those guys care about the tournaments because certain tournaments are important to those fan bases. You know what I mean? So then I think they really buy in. But then you got other players where it's like, it's just a job.
Is this the Champions League? Holla at me. Like,
exactly. It's not the Champions League. And I mean, you even hear the transfer targets will say, well, I'm not going to sign with this team because they're not qualified for the Champions League tournament. That's a tournament that I want to be a part of. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, shout out to my boy Double D, man. He had one question for us from my college text chain. He asked us, I'm reading now, because I just told him we were starting. He said, is Tottenham's Championship League run last year the most craziest thing ever seen in sports, almost for a run?
Well, it was a hell of a run.
Dude, I mean, and if you go look back at those games, those were like last-second shots they was hitting, dog.
A lot of them.
Like, for real. And they almost didn't even qualify for the round of 16.
Yeah, I think they really performed well, man, and clutch. You know what I mean? Kind of like the soccer
and,
guy.
And he said right now, and all without Harry Kane.
Yeah, oh, exactly. No, that's definitely the excellent point, man.
But it's like they can't.
You know, nobody really. I mean,
he's comparing it to the. He said to Butler in the NCAA tournament.
Oh, wow! Yeah, that is a good comparison. Exactly.
Like, yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean?
Hitting 3-pointers at the buzzer on cats. Like, yeah. I mean, because they knocked off Man City, Madrid, and this is all back to back in the last 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so
and then they turn around and fire the coach.
You said their coach, you like their coach, you said?
I said, then they turned around and fired the coach. That's when
crazy, right?
Pocacino.
Yeah, but is it because is it back to the Champions League thing?
Man, exactly.
I'm gonna say, is it back to the English Premier League thing, where it's like you ain't even performing the Premier League though, dog?
Oh yeah, I mean definitely. You know, Tottenham's in a spot where Premier League performance is what they gotta do. You know what I mean? It's what they gotta do.
All right, man. Let's
especially
jump
being in London. Like you, if you're not winning that, you know, trophy, yeah. And you in London, I mean,
yeah, because no. London has Tottenham, Chelsea,
yep,
Arsenal, and it, is West Ham there too? West Ham, right?
Exactly.
West so Ham, those are the yep. four, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, and it's I mean this let me go hard. I mean, that, yeah, that's a hard one to run with, man. If you ain't yeah, winning. You know,
exactly. You don't want to be the LA Clippers. You know what I mean? For the past. Not the current, but, you know, back
right, then. The old school. But I mean, that's basically what Spurs were before, basically, weren't they?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but they would always pop up with you know, one stud, you know, and they had what, like, Teddy Sheringham, you know, coming out there, you know, really scoring goals, man. I mean, they had some players, you know, and they would put in a shift and always be in the mix, but they weren't lifting the trophy.
Yeah. All right, man. Let's jump into some of these topics, man. Let's talk about let's yeah. give props to your team, man.
Hey, you see what's behind me, man? You see what's on, man? Yeah.
Your boys got him. I mean, that's a big pickup, man. That's a big pickup with Werner. If anybody doesn't know, Werner from RB Leipzig is not gonna be on Chelsea.
Yeah, man, I think he's like exactly what we require, man. Proven goal scorer, good combination, you know, speed, strength, you know, height. I think he delivers for us, man, and I don't think the Premier League lights will be too big for him. I think it's just a matter of him settling and putting the ball in the back of the net, and I think he has everything around him to do just that.
What do you think this does for Pulisic, though, man?
I think it's good for him. I think it's good for him. I mean, two different positions, two different roles, but if he can, you know, gain some kind of synergy, you know, right away and build some rapport, man, and they're firing together, man, playing off one another, I think that's awesome. Yep, exactly what we need.
Yeah, that's a big pickup, man. Chelsea, y'all was saving them chips on the back end because y'all had them transfers. So kicking off the Premier League's coming back. Hey, soccer.
Hey man,
what's up?
Yeah, back the 17th, man. So
yeah, man, we kick. I mean, this
super exciting.
Yeah, y'all listening, y'all get this the day before, so we, you know, that it's to, so. I mean, basically, what we got: Man City, Arsenal, and then Aston Villa. And I think Sheffield, maybe somebody like that.
Yeah.
To kick us back off. I mean, Man City, basically, they lose. Basically, Liverpool, damn near, even they already had it locked up for the last like 7 months, it feel like. But it'll be almost damn near official if they lose to Arsenal.
Yeah, most definitely, man. You know, Liverpool's on a march, man. I don't think there's any doubt that they're going to get exactly where they're going. It's just a matter of time now. But, just excited, man, to see the ball, you know, rolling around again, man, and seeing these teams get after it. You know, it's exciting, man. You know, I miss Saturdays. And, you know, like we were talking pre-production, man, that schedule is going to give us basically football, you know, almost every single night, man. I mean, the schedule is upcoming.
Dude, it's going to be crazy, man.
Never seen anything like that before.
Yeah, I mean, and this is something we talk about pre-production. Do you think the five subs is going to be enough with this schedule?
Interesting, man. Interesting. You know, it's interesting because, you know, soccer is a game where they are willing to tweak the game, change the laws of the game, the rules of the games, where you see in, like, baseball, they fight it, where, you know, they live by the tradition, you know what I'm saying? So the five subs, man, considering, you know, people coming back, you know, from post-corona, you know, out of sync, not as much time in training, you know, probably physical levels not going to be exactly where they should be. I think it makes sense, help avoid injury. And I think it's also smart, if you're going to do the five subs, forcing them to do it in only three different substitution patterns overall, I think that's smart as well. So you don't extend the game. You don't let people use the five subs as a gamesmanship to end games, you know, stalling tactics, exactly. So I think that makes sense. What you think?
So do you think that this will be going forward? You think they'll keep this going forward, or you think this is going just this moment for the five subs?
You know, tough to say, man. Tough to say. I mean, I want to see how it works, and then maybe that's something they kick around for an official change moving forward or not. I mean, because what, coronavirus ain't going anywhere anytime soon, so maybe this is the new norm, right?
Yeah, I mean, and if anything, this is not good for smaller clubs, right? Because now I can go ahead and ball out and get more people and play five more cats.
Absolutely.
So it can't be good for smaller clubs, right? This five sub.
Well, most rule changes aren't good for small clubs, so nothing really new there.
Yeah, no, you're right. There. You're right. Because if you think about it on, yeah, because you think about it before, you would like I know we've, Manu's been talking about putting Chung on loan. If we got five subs now, there's no point in sending Chung on loan now.
Yeah, you might be able to really utilize him, you know what I mean? And so that'll be interesting to see how that impacts the loan system and like overall player development. I mean, do you want to have that guy sitting on the bench, you know, maybe getting in the last 15 minutes of the game, or him going to some smaller team and getting, you know, 90 minutes.
Just offhand, how many European players really go on loan to MLS? Like, is it a high percentage, lower, or average, or?
You don't see it as much, you know, one, because of the timing of the seasons. I mean, if you got the ability to play in Europe, that's really where you want to play at. You know what I mean? Just like in the NBA, if you got the ability to play in the NBA, that's where you want to play. You know, right. You don't want to go play in the, you know, Ukrainian league. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's the same kind of thing. You know, you want to be at least in the feeder clubs to the European clubs. And so, you know, that's why you see the kind of loans that you see historically.
All right. So what do you think about, man? We talk about George Floyd since we had our last show. Everything happened with George Floyd. Man, yeah. It shook up everything everywhere. I mean, our soccer podcast may be on NBC in a minute because they need diversity in a minute.
They definitely do, man.
This is the time to strike, black folks. This is time to strike.
Yeah, exactly.
The Empire Strikes Back, baby.
It's time for them to adapt and incorporate. You know,
man, but it's a long time coming, man. This beyond a long time coming for them to be putting on, but to be more diverse in these different situations. Period. So this ain't, you know, some people that may feel some type of way about it. Let's not get it twisted. This is a long time coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Without,
so yeah, we were talking about it before, question, man.
I mean, there's no doubt about that.
All the football players, man, over here are, you know, standing up more than it's. I won't say more than U.S. athletes, but it seems like the leagues are embracing more of the protest and the players speaking out for themselves in Europe, particularly.
Yeah, no, I have to agree with that, and I've just been absolutely shocked by that, man. You know. The fact that they understand what's going on, it seems like with more clarity and with more focused, appropriate reactions, you know, than what we see from folks less, is just an incredible parallel, you know, to see when you think about Colin Kaepernick and that situation and, you know, the response of the conservative you know, delegation, you know, and Trump specifically. It's just absolutely amazing, man. But I'm very happy with what I'm seeing from the Premier League, you know, UEFA, the FA, FIFA overall. I mean, just even them allowing the players to kneel, and the players, you know, taking that power of saying we will, you know, show solidarity and show certain respect and acknowledgement of what's going on from a, you know, police child. And the justice system, man. I think it's absolutely to be applauded.
Yeah, man. Shout out to them, man. I mean, really, this has kind of kicked off the Bundesliga. Bundesliga, man, the Germans, man, they actually did something good for the world, man, at one point, man, and got all these sports kicked back off, right, really, and paved the way, because I know the U.S. is looking like, man, we can't be letting these checks. They said that the Bundesliga ratings were like 12 times more than is normal watching on a Saturday morning. And Sunday morning, 12 times the ratings.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So they looking at them dollars like, man.
You know, it's part of, right, missing out. And, you know, that's to be expected, I suppose, when you're the only game in town. You know, you definitely get more eyeballs on you. But, I'm happy that they, you know, pioneered it and took those chances, man. You know, kind of showing it can be done, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we had, you know, the Spanish League came back, Italian League came back this week. They came back full force, and all their, you know, they're splendid. Premier League's the last one. I guess I don't know if La Liga's ever coming back. now they looking like they canceled their league, and then they was like, "Oh, hold on, man, you sure about that? Because we might have messed up on this."
Double check that. I'm not certain.
La Liga's talking about they may come back. They want to come back now. Like we messed up.
It seems like they just flip flopping and they don't really know
what. La Liga. I'm sorry. French one.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Not La Liga. I'm talking about.
And I think that's more on the financial side with the French.
Oh, really?
You know, the financial side. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because it's a major drop off with the kind of money they playing with. You know, England and Spain, and then what's going on in France and stuff.
So you talking about like money wise? Are they fourth tier? If you're talking about English Premier League, Spanish League, Italian League, are they next? Or is Bundes next and then them? Financially?
The German, the Bundesliga, and Italy are both a step above the French League when it comes to the kind of compensation the players.
So they're fifth tier then, basically.
I would probably put the Italians and the Germans in the same kind of pecking order when it comes to financially, but definitely the French League is beneath that. I mean, you know, a lot of that's because you see a lot of the African imports. You know, they can play those guys crumbs. You know, North Africans.
Oh, really? So hold on. So is that what the French League is doing?
Oh yeah, that's why they're very, very dominated by Eastern African, Northern African players, and those players come there to try to get that shot of getting into Europe and being seen to be able to feed off to one of these bigger clubs. And so that's kind of the way of uncovering talent, you know. So that's been in place for many, many years. And so, you know, financially, you pay those guys, you know, crumbs, and those guys accept it because they're going to get the light put on them, hopefully, if they perform well, and that's going to lead to the big payday.
So is us seeing it, and this is something I never really even kept up the French League until Mbappe and Neymar got together at PSG. And is that a phenomenon with PSG, because PSG becoming more like, I guess, pop culture known?
PSG is France's equivalent to Manchester City.
Okay, but so they gonna spend that dough, basically.
Yeah, they got the stupid, you know, multi-billionaire owners, and they can just outspend everybody. Yeah,
but I'm talking about popularity wise, like worldwide. Like, does it seem like PSG's got more popular, like pop culture?
Absolutely. I think they have definitely gotten more popular, but because of them consistently being a perennial winner. So yeah,
and a lot of NBA players have been embracing them too. Like
and you got Jordan Brand collaborating with them, sponsoring them. You know, but yeah, absolutely. That's helped as well.
Yeah, they said La Liga's. They said they talking about maybe coming. They talking about changing up. They said that the Guardian's reporting that they feel left out now. They're expanding. Oh, they're talking about possibly expanding to 22 teams next season and not relegating anybody because UEFA said that you can't deregulate anybody if you don't finish your season.
And that makes sense.
So it's like if you're not gonna play, you tell nobody not to come back if they don't get a chance to fight for it.
Yeah.
And you can't tell those teams in League Two that they don't deserve to move up either.
Exactly. That's why this is, you know, so profound. It's like so many different scenarios that we've never seen before and the different impacts, you know, in these clubs. A big difference in the kind of money you touch in as well to run an organization, a business.
Yeah. My boy Double Diz, he's getting all kind of love here, man. He said, "Do you think that this transfer window is like the NBA free agency?"
Oh, absolutely.
Because that doesn't feel like cats got time to really be like, man, who do we kind of want?
the transfer window is great, man. You know, and especially just like coming down the home stretch on deadline day. I mean, like, you know, I know me, man. I got it up running you know, all day long, and, you know, they cut into this reporter and that reporter as they get in bits of information of who's signing and, you know, who driving in for a physical, and, you know, they got the paparazzi all in the car. Yeah, he doesn't trade. He's at the dock right now, you know.
He's at the dock.
Checking out the ankle, doing a couple more scans.
You know, what is the one when they do the flight tracker?
Yeah. You know, they got the scouts at the airport. Yeah, we just saw him landed at Heathrow. You know. So yeah, it's always exciting, man. I think it might be even more flavorful than the NBA.
No, he was saying this. He was saying this particular transfer window. He's saying this particular window.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, he said, like, this because of quarantine. He's explaining this up now. I'm going to read this. He says, because of quarantine, do you all think that the transfer window is even crazier right now?
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I would agree with that, too, wholeheartedly. Just because we've had so much more time to even dive in, you know, on another level.
And, I mean, think about coaches probably had a chance to look at somebody in the Turkish league or something random. They're like, okay, maybe we can pick him up for the low.
Definitely.
So next up, man, the salary cap, man, you've been talking about this on the last show, man. they're talking about maybe creating one. What do you think this is would look like, and what do you think impact this will have if this, or do you think people going to be like, hell no? Kind of like baseball, but baseball is in trouble now.
You're seeing it in a lot of different sports where you thought you would never see it really be seriously discussed, but I think it has to happen, man. You know, these clubs are businesses, man, and everybody wants to be able to turn a profit. And the only way you can really do that is by controlling cost. I mean, that's just simple business, you know, principles. I mean, unless you got some sort of unlimited access to capital, which a lot of these smaller clubs simply don't have, it's hard to envision how they would roll something like that out, but it's almost unfathomable that it wouldn't be required. So I guess that's my way to dance around it. I do think that it's in the future, and I think that Corona could tip the scale to make it happen sooner than later. What you think?
Really? So you think so? Because you're saying because teams are like, man, I ain't got bread to be paying my players, and then you're gonna basically set up a have and a have not system in the league, then, right? You're saying almost?
Yeah. I mean, I think you're gonna exasperate the have and have not system that's already in place, where certain clubs are going to just have to fold, because how long can you run a business and not turn a profit? I mean, at a certain point, you throw your hands up and you say, I can't flush no more money down the drain. And I think that's the reality of these League One and League Two teams. And especially a lot of these clubs, you know, under the old system where the fans owned the club. I mean, with, you know, these incredible unemployment rates that you see, I don't even think that the average fan can support a club like they have in the past. And, you know, a lot of these clubs are owned by the fans.
But then you got the oil barons coming in and, you know, like, well, I got money to burn, whatever. But then you set it up where they like, well, I'm just going to buy everybody out, and you only got two teams that are good in your league now.
Yeah, and then that's where you lose your watchership of the league, you know, because it's not a whole lot of fun just to watch two teams run away with it.
So you think this is closer than we think?
You know, it's hard to say, man. It's really hard to say. I think in the football world, the agents will have a lot to say on how quickly something like this happens. I think the agents are the most powerful, where when you look at like Major League Baseball, the players union is more powerful than the agent. And I think in soccer, the agents are more powerful than players.
And what reason is that for that kind of happens?
I just don't think that the unions have been around as long and have as much strength. I mean, just even, you know, look at how they talk about it in soccer. Like, you know, I'm going to sell your rights.
Right. You know, that's real. Yeah.
You know, like they talk about the player as if it's a piece of property. And that's how they, you know, they trade pieces of property. Where, you know, in baseball, the players are unionized in their strength in, you know, what they will do overall. And you just don't see them working with that same kind of accord in soccer. It's never been leveraged that way. It's always been powerful agents, you know, working the best deal for said player.
So yeah, man, this is gonna be interesting. If this jumps off like this, like it could be, man. Like this could, I mean, this, I guess this will help the smaller teams, of course. That'd be interesting to see what leagues would.
And I think these big clubs would be happy to kind of rein in some of this money and say, well, hey, at least at least we know we won't spend over this, you know, like right now.
We can know how much we. It's unlimited at this point.
Right now, this can just go forever.
This is a blank check. They got to have a blank check.
It literally is. Continuously blank checks without turning a profit.
I mean, I guess they have them internally, but in theory, somebody can be like, no, man, you need to go, like, you know, like, man, you're trying to get Jadon Sancho. They talking about $100 million for him. Like, y'all but got it?
At the same time, I guess the flip side of the coin is like, it's great to be a part of a club that has the resources to say whatever it takes, you know?
Yeah. You can make it happen. You're talking about the Jerry Jones method.
Okay, exactly.
Next up, man, my boy Pogba's coming back, maybe playing with Bruno Fernandes, man. I think this is going to be interesting, man.
I think that's going to be interesting as well. You know, Fernandez, while Pogba was injured, you know, he came on the scene and he did the business, you know, straight away, man. And that's not easy to do when you come from one league to another, new club, new surroundings, but absolutely doing the business. So I like it.
But do you think that teams are going to start being able to pick him out, though, now since he's been there so long, like where it's like – it's kind of like you the new dude and it's like we all know your style.
Yeah, and I think people know how dangerous he is. I mean, he came with a hell of a reputation. But I think it's good for both him and Pogba, man. Maybe them playing off one another. They're both creative types.
And Pogba ain't got to carry the whole midfield like he's had to either. So it's not – it's like – it's kind of like when Paul Pierce got Ray Allen, KG in at the carry everything.
Yeah, exactly. Lessen the load, man. And hopefully lessen some of the stress, man, because, you know, they work your boy Pogba over pretty – hard, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he's trying to get out of there, man, because they was like, man, he's like, but I mean, now, especially if we get Jadon Sancho, man, he'll be straight, and the midfield will be near, you know, rock solid. I mean I'm just saying now, we beat Spurs on Friday, we going straight undefeated the rest of the year. Not looking at the schedule.
Oh, well, I mean, didn't they come out and say that Sancho will not move in the summer now, so it's going to be a whole another year before you move.
Well, they said that he can initiate something like Werner did, right?
I thought that he came out and said he's not going to move for at least not this coming summer, the following summer.
Oh wow! So a whole calendar year, basically.
Exactly. So that puts your boys back. You know, talk about the process. You know?
look, it's all good. Look, we still gonna pass y'all for fourth this year, guaranteed. Come on. Have you looked at our schedule the rest of the way after Spurs?
you guys are so up and down, man.
That's true. But we've been the hottest team in Europe, man. We've not lost a game in 12 games.
You know, I think you guys could catch fire. I think it's definitely possible. You got a lot of skills there. But, I mean, you guys, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if you guys, you know, took four L's in a row. I mean, I wouldn't
I lost beat Spurs, then lose the Crystal Palace.
Yeah, something like that. I could see that.
No, you're right.
Take your lumps. You know?
MLS is coming back with their Orlando tournament, man. What do you think about this? MLS coming to Orlando.
It's interesting, man. It basically sounds like what the NBA is trying to do.
Yeah, right? Isn't that not good to have all those teams in one city? Or why Orlando with all these teams?
Well, I know Orlando definitely has, like, the complexes to
is that what it is?
Soccer pitches. Oh, yeah, definitely. Plenty of plenty of pitches in the complex, because that's actually where that, you know, talking about the USA developing young players, that's where that facility is.
Okay.
That same facility. So, I mean, that's a prime, top-notch, creme de la creme sort of facility. So it only makes sense. But I'm just looking at it, man, like my my barber out here, man. This may be a little bit too much for the pod, man, but he cuts Devin Booker's dad's hair, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Devin Booker on the Phoenix Suns, and he's messing with one of the Jenner daughters. And, you know, so they supposed to be going up to do the NBA thing in the NBA bubble. And, you know, they're like, how do you keep out all of the women that these guys are all dealing with, the same Instagram chicks? You know, mm-hmm. how is that going to impact coronavirus at these facilities, man? And so that's kind of what I was thinking about the MLS. And, you know, because it's kind of a similar, you know, small world, man, where, you know, these young guys all live on social media, man. And that could be a major impact, man. Seriously.
I guess a soccer groupie is different than a basketball groupie, right? Or would they be going between both facilities?
Man, I think you give too much credibility. I mean, you know, I think a groupie is a groupie, man. You know what I'm saying?
Back in the day, though, it used to be a type of groupie, though. You know, but back in the day, it used to be a type of groupie, though. Remember when we were kids? Like, it was like, oh, she goes to all the basketball games. She's a basketball groupie. Now, I guess because of the internet, you can expand your groupiness.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know,
I mean, do groupies know soccer players like that? U.S. wise, not necessarily. I mean, I guess you just Google somebody's name, you can figure it out, right?
Lori Harvey was messing with a former Manchester United winger when he didn't do the business. He's from the Netherlands, and then they kicked him to France.
Well, Memphis Depay.
What's his name?
Memphis Depay.
Okay. Yeah, Memphis Depay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Lori Harvey knew who he was. You see?
Yeah.
That just proves my point. Yeah.
But I can see Memphis Depay being at the club, though. Like, you know, I'm in Memphis Depay. Go on, Google me.
Hey, whatever works, man.
Right. I ain't mad at you. Look, I ain't mad at the hustle now. Because you got to tell them to Google you for that, because they don't know necessarily.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's in the French league now, right? He's on Lyon, right?
I think he's on Marseille.
Yeah, I know he was on Man U for a while. Yeah. If he was with Lori Harvey, I mean, Lori Harvey getting kind of ran through at this point, right?
Yeah, but I think he was one of the most early.
So. Yeah, no, he was early. Cause what's crazy, she's only like 21, 22, right?
About right, yeah. About
right. Dang, they got it on her too. On his Wikipedia, they got it. God damn.
Oh, you keeping it?
Hey, the Wikipedia is rough, dog.
If you know it, man.
Hey, man, the Wikipedia is rough. They got a whole paragraph.
Oh, wow.
Oh, the Wikipedia. Hey, man. Hey, Wikipedia. It's a trip, man. Wow. He was, I guess he was engaged to her. Well, Wikipedia is claiming that.
Man. You know he tricked off some bread. You know he did.
You already know. You already know, man. But that wasn't nothing for him, probably. Shit.
He was spending that Manchester United money, man. Y'all were financing Lori Harvey.
Yeah, I know, right? Dang.
Wow.
So, man, wrapping up, man. So, what do you think? I guess what we got looking forward to this? Chelsea play this week? This Friday? Oh, they play Friday or Saturday?
We play Sunday, if I'm not mistaken.
And then y'all probably turn back around and play Wednesday too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you know it's gonna be a quick turn around. We have Aston Villa.
They're fighting for their last spot.
That's one of your targets, Jack Grealish.
Grealish, yeah.
The captain.
Yeah, people are saying that about Grealish, man. I mean, I'm at this point, Sancho a bust at this point, man. We just need to go and ride this train out.
Definitely would take Sancho easily over Grealish. Easily, no hesitation.
Yeah. So y'all got Aston Villa on Sunday. Oh, y'all got Man. I'm looking at y'all schedule now. Y'all got Man City right on Thursday, next Thursday.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. Damn, Leicester City. Oh, y'all. Hey, y'all. Well, y'all got two back-to-back ones. Ain't gonna be no joke.
Yeah, it's a tough road ahead, man. But I think we come in, you know, find our feet in that Aston Villa game, and then it's time to go to work. Early July, we got West Ham United in early July. So it's like you said, survive those two tough games. And I think we're
right. Then y'all just got Liverpool and Wolves left, really.
Yep. Keep you guys right out of that fourth spot.
That's why I don't know, man. It's gonna be a rough one. It's gonna be a race to the end.
Should be fun to watch, man.
It's gonna be real fun, man. It's gonna be real fun, man. Where can everybody hit you up at, bro?
Yeah, man, on Twitter, Phoenix Piff, always Piff. Catch me on Twitter, and I might create a new one and get that for the pod, but for the meantime, between time, feel free to catch me there, man.
All right, you can hit us up on straightolc@gmail.com with all your questions, thoughts, all that good stuff. Thanks for all the questions, everybody. Shout out to Double D and everybody that tweeted us and hit us up, man.
Thank you guys. Keep the feedback coming.
Yeah, because we didn't have that much to talk about tonight, and y'all helped us out with these questions.
Yeah, for sure.
It helps out the show, and we'll be keep y'all locked in. We'll be back soon, and man, Viva La Soccer's back, baby.
Hey, man, have a good one, man. Be all blessed. Right.